Satishi Shimad, His Divine Grace Abhaya Chananada Vastavananda Goswami Srila Prabhupada ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Acharya Ananda Goti Vaishnava Vrinda Acharya Namacharya Srila Huidas Thakur Acharya Prem Se Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Rabu Nityananda Shidwaita Gadatha Shivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrindagijaya Shri Shri Radhakrishna Govindagopita Sayam Kunda Radhakunda Girigo Vardhan Kijai, Vrindavanam Kijai, Mathuram Kijai, Navadipdam Kijai, Jagadathasami Kijai, Yamunamaya Kijai, Srimati Glasadevi Kijai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Kijai, Gaur Premananda Hare. All glorious to the assembled devotees. All glorious the assembled devotees. All glorious the assembled devotees. All glorious to Sri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, chapter 15, text 74. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Dharmas te griha vidhiyo varnitaha papa nashanaha rahasto yena paravim anjasa yasinam yat Namaste Griha Medeo Varnita Papa Nashanaha
Varnita Papa Nashanaha
Hashtoyena Paravim
Hashtoyena Paravim
Anjasanyasinam Niyat
Anjasanyasinam Niyat
Namaste Griha Medeo Varnita Papa Nashanaha Rashto Yena Paravim Onja Sanya Sinamihat Namaste Griha Mediho Varnita Papa Nashanaha Hasto yena paravim Anjasanyasinam nihat. Okay. Do you want to chant?
Namaste griha mediyo.
Namaste griha mediyo.
Process.
That
religious
process.
Te. Oh, to you.
To you.
Griha Mediya.
Griha
Mediya. Although attached to household life.
Although attached to household life.
Varnitaha. Explained by me.
Explained by me.
Papanashanaha.
Papanashanaha.
The destruction of sinful reactions.
The destruction of sinful reactions.
Grahastah. A person in household life.
A person in household life.
Yena.
Yena.
By which?
By which?
Padavim.
Padavim.
The position.
The position.
Anjasa.
Anjasa.
Very easily.
Very easily.
Yasinam.
Yasinam.
Of those in the renounced order of life.
Of those in the renounced order of life.
Iyat
can obtain.
Translation. The process of chanting the holy name of the Lord is so powerful that by this chanting, even householders, grahasthas, can very easily gain the ultimate result achieved by persons in the renounced order. Maharaj Yudhisthira, I have now explained to you that process of religion. So you can repeat? The process of chanting the holy name of the Lord.
The process of chanting the holy name of the Lord.
It's so powerful.
It's so powerful.
That by this chanting.
That by this chanting.
Even householders, grahasthas.
Even householders, grahasthas.
Can very easily gain.
Can very easily gain.
The ultimate result.
The ultimate result.
Achieved by persons in the renounced order.
Achieved by persons in the renounced order.
Maharaj Yudhisthira.
Maharaj Yudhisthira.
I have now explained to you. That process of religion.
That process of religion.
So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. This is a confirmation of the Krishna consciousness movement. Anyone who takes part in this movement, regardless of what he is, can gain the topmost result achieved by a perfect sannyasi, namely Brahma Jnana spiritual knowledge. Even more important, he can advance in devotional service. Maharaj Yudhisthira thought that because he was a grahastha, there was no hope of his being liberated. And therefore he asked Narada Muni how he could get out of material entanglement. But Narada Muni, citing a practical example from his own life, established by that by associating with devotees and chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, any man in any condition of life can achieve the highest perfection without a doubt. So, Namaste Gurumetiyo Vanita Papa Manaschanaha Rastu Yena Padavim Anjasa Nyasinam Yat. Om Megana Timananda Shah Gananjana Shvakya Chakshur Unmenitam Yena Tosmai Shigurave Namaha. So this verse reminds me of another very important verse. Ho Bhattaswa Pachato Ganyam Yaji Walde Vartate Namatubhyam Depustapus Jehuva Shashna Arya Brahmanuchar Gunanti Yete. And this is a very important verse. Ho, the ho starts with, that means how wonderful, how amazing, how ecstatic. Ho, but the swa, pachato garyat. That even those who are born in the family of dog eaters, in the Vedic conception, dog eaters were considered the lowest. Of course, in the Western world, we have our cow eaters, who are actually even lower than dog eaters. There was recently a politician who made a statement that he wanted to imprison those who were vegetarians. Anyway, so you can imagine how he said that we are a meat and potatoes country. So let's see how far he goes. Maybe we'll all be in jail. So, ho bhatu swa bhatuto gariyan, that even those who were born in dog-eating families, gariyan, yad-yivalgari vartate namatubhya, that if they have on their tongues the chanting of the Lord's holy names, tepus tepus juhuvar, that it's understood that they've engaged in all sorts of austerities, because generally, to become Krishna conscious or become even a Brahmin, It takes many, many births, just like we have this story in the Mahabharata. A very interesting story in the Mahabharata. Once upon a time, we have Śrīla Vyāsadeva, who is walking on a road. And on that same road, there is a worm. And that worm is very quickly squiggling his way across the road. And Vyāsadeva says, "Why are you squiggling so quickly across the road?" And the worm said, "There is a cart coming. And the cart is going to basically run me over and squish me." And so Vyāsadeva said, "Oh, I understand that." Because the worms, they can actually experience the vibration. They have no ears. But they can hear the vibration or experience the vibration on the road. So he said, "I can understand that. But don't you understand that if you get killed, the next life, I guess you become a butterfly." So you'll have a higher birth. And so you'll go up through these different species of life. As we know, there's 8,400,000 species of life. And human beings, of course, there's 400,000 species of life. So one has to work their way up through that, too. Not only does one have to work their way up from being a worm to being a butterfly. I don't know what comes after butterfly, but I guess a monarch butterfly.
Yeah.
There's many different species of butterflies, and then up and up and up, you finally are a bird, and then after that, you get to be a mammal, like a monkey or a tiger or a bear or something like that. After that, you get to be a human being. There's 400,000 species. So he said, basically, you're going to work your way up the evolutionary spiral from one species to another, and eventually, you become a Shudra. And then after that, eventually, you'll become a Vaishya. And after that, eventually, you will become a Kshatriya. And I'll be your guru when you're a Kshatriya. And then eventually, you're going to be a Brahmin. And it's going to take a long time, but you're going to be a Brahmin and eventually become a devotee. Eventually, you go back to Godhead. So, of course, that's a perfect depiction of the verse in the Bhagavad Gita that Bohanam Janmanamante Yadavamam Prapajate Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatmasa Guru Labhava. That after many, many births, one actually comes to the understanding that about Krishna consciousness. And then also in the other verse, Manushanam Sahasreshu Kaschit Yatati Siddhaye Yatatam Api Siddhanam Kaschit Mandeti. That out of many, many thousand men, maybe one will be looking for perfection, and one will know. Among those who are looking for perfection, maybe one will get perfection, and hardly any of those know Krishna and truth. So this is all Bhagavad Gita. So, basically, the worm, when he heard this information, he was so enthusiastic. I guess that takes a lot of patience. You know, someone said to me that, you know, in the future, you know, in probably 400,000 births, you're going to be a Brahmin, and then you're going to be able to take up Krishna consciousness. I'd probably say, the hell with it. Let me just enjoy as a worm, you know, eating stool. Anyways, you know, it does take a lot of patience. So this worm, basically, he had the qualities as described by Śrīla Rūpa Goswāmī, utsahen nischaya dharyata dharma pravartana. What does that mean? He was enthusiastic, patient, and determined. Most of us in this world, even in human bodies, in the Krishna consciousness movement, we don't find ourselves enthusiastic, determined, and patient. We're impatient, depressed, and not determined. We're just like bahushaptas, tormentas, our mind is in many directions. So, I mean, just like we see here in New Goloka, there's many challenges. Just like, you know, this morning, I had to look at the email, and there was a response from the building permit department. You know, many challenges. And then we've gone ups and downs here, and then one has a tendency just to say, "Oh, the hell with it. Let me hit the road, Jill." And or do something. But actually, we should always maintain a positive attitude like this worm. Can you imagine if I would tell any of you, maybe at 8 million births, you're going to take up Krishna consciousness, but you have to allow yourself to get run over by a car right now. I don't think many of us would go for it. So, but this worm, he basically said, "Honey ball," and he allowed himself to get squished by the cart, and then gradually, what happened, what was predicted, happened. He worked his way up, and eventually he went back to Godhead. It took a long time, but he was patient, determined, enthusiastic, utsaha. So one has to remember this lesson from the worm. However, getting back to that verse I was just quoting at the beginning of this class, a whole bunch of swab, but you told Ganyan, that if one is chanting the Lord's holy names, then it's understood he's gone through all these things. And Brahmanuchar Nama Gurunanjiyate, he's actually performed all the secondary rituals, preliminary practices, elevated himself, etc., simply because he's chanting the holy name. Which is actually a very wonderful statement, a very encouraging statement. Oh, but this was, but Amazing verse. So, anyway, so we should still be enthusiastic. So what does it mean, before I go on to this point, in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, we found dogs who went back to Godhead chanting the holy name. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a puppy when he was young, and later on, there was that dog who was following Shivananda Sain. And Shivananda Sain gave the dog prasadam, and ultimately Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave that dog association, and the dog went back to Godhead. And Lord Chaitanya was throwing green coconut pulp to the dog. The dog was catching it and chanting the holy names and went back to God. So even a dog can go back to God. And of course, we were just in Vrindavan, and the monkeys are going back to Godhead there. But that's a little bit different path, because most of the monkeys and pigs were renounced persons in their previous lives, and somehow or other they didn't quite follow the rules and regulations. And as a result, they took birth as monkeys and pigs, and at the end of this life, they go back to Godhead. So anyway, so that is the potency of Krishna consciousness. And also another point made here in this verse is papa nashana. You get rid of all the sinful reactions. That's also mentioned by Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, that by even namabhas chanting, that's a lower stage of chanting, not as low as namaparada, but namabhas chanting means chanting derisively, making fun of the devotees, chanting jokingly, chanting accidentally, dividing the syllables up, like Ram, like Ha and Ram. Just by chanting namabhas, even the parabdha karma, because here we're talking about sinful reactions, that means there's aparabdha, parabdha, kuta, bija, according to the nectar of devotion. In other words, there's the inclination to sin, and there's the sin itself, there's the seed of sinful desire, there's the reaction that's almost mature, there's the mature reaction, that's called parabdha karma. For example, the body that we're walking around in now is our parabdha karma. It's evidence of our past sinful activities. One time many years ago, I was with a sannyasi who shall remain nameless to protect him. And he was chastising me, and I said, "I didn't do anything wrong." He said, "Well, you're walking around with a material body. You did something wrong. The evidence is, that's incontrovertible evidence that you have a material body, that you were bad." It's just like if you go to court, you have to have incontrovertible evidence. Not only preponderance of evidence, but you have to have absolute proof that something happened. So we have absolute proof that we committed sinful activities. What's that absolute proof? The body. So the body is evidence of our karma, but parabdha karma means the present reactions or the mature reactions of past sinful activities. And so one should try to understand it by chanting the holy name. Even the parabdha karma becomes eradicated. So one may ask, well, if the parabdha karma becomes eradicated, why are we still walking around with the body? That's evidence of our past karmic activities. Well, the point is that even though it's not parabdha karma anymore, there's two explanations. One is it's a token reaction for our past sinful activities that is given by Krishna. And number two, Krishna is personally arranging things for our own spiritual benefit. And even though we're walking around with a body that's evidence of our past sinful activities, Krishna's maintaining it somehow or other, and Krishna's utilizing it in such a way, even if we're experiencing pain or tribulation or even pleasure for the body sometimes, if we're eating nice prasadam, Krishna's arranging it in such a way to help us in our spiritual advancement. So anyway, so by the chanting, even Namabhas chanting, then all the parabdha karma, all types of karma, parabdha, kuta, bija, aparabdha, etc., are eradicated. And you see people in India, they're very enthusiastic about having their karma eradicated. In fact, in many of the holy places, there's even rivers, lakes, or waterfalls that are called Papanashana. If you've gone to Tirupati, there's actually like a stream coming down from the mountain, the Papanashana stream, and you find people lined up to take bath there just to get rid of their sinful activities. And of course, that does work. I mean, as far as getting rid of the sinful activities, taking bath in a holy place, but basically, it's more effective to chant the holy names. I mean, when you chant the holy names, it's more effective than visiting all the holy places in India. You can't even compare it to visiting all the holy places in India. You know, many times devotees go, oh, I want to go on this place, that place, take bath in the Triveni during the Kumbh Mela. And actually, you know, devotees go there when we go there for preaching. But the chanting is Goloka Revandana, Harinam Sankirtan. The chanting is directly coming from Goloka Vrindavan. Glokera Premadana, Harinam Sankirtan. That's the statement of Narottama Das Thakur. That this chanting is directly descended from Goloka Vrindavan. So when you chant the Lord's holy names, with the proper mood, avoiding the offenses, then you are actually getting more benefit than visiting all the holy places or bathing in the Papanashana River or the Papanashana Falls. Everywhere you go, there's actually, in India, they have these things you can bathe in to get free things. And of course, people bathe in the Ganges. And we know when the Ganges was begged to come down by Buggy Rath, the Ganges objected because people are going to bathe in me to get rid of their sins. But Buggy Rath was able to assuage or encourage the Ganges to come down by telling the Ganges that also the great sages would bathe in her and that way purify her. So the great sages purify even the holy place, purify the Ganges river. And so the chanting of Hare Krishna is the topmost. We should have no doubt about that. However, we are not just interested in chanting Namabhas, what to speak of, Nama Aparada chanting. We should be interested in chanting the Shuddhanam. Shuddhanam means the pure name. And of course, in order to chant the pure name, you have to avoid what the 10 offenses, which we're not going to talk about. But I was reading something very, very interesting in the Harinam Chintamani last night about pure chanting, what the result of pure chanting is. Because most of us, we're chanting just to get our rounds done. You know, we're thinking, you know, as Prabhupada joked one time, I finished my rounds, now I can do any damn thing. Let me finish these 16, and then I get on to the real business in life, which is, you know, eating, sleeping, or, you know, even other service to Krishna. But the chanting is the most important service that we can execute. There is no more important service. It is service for the Supreme Personality of God. And so in the Hainam Chintamani, the final chapter, of course, the Hainam Chintamani means, the name of the book by Bhaktivinoda Thakur means that the Chintamani, or desire gem, of the holy names of the Lord, because the holy names of the Lord are actually like a desire tree. Like in Vrindavan, we go around. Recently I was in Braj. We go around to all the different trees and we touch our head to the trees and make a wish. Beg the desire trees for mercy, or beg the desire trees to help some particular devotee. But the holy names are actually this, like a touchstone. A touchstone, desire tree. That's Chintamani. So, anyway, getting on to what the Harinam Chintamani says, that when you're chanting the holy names of the Lord, the different stages of chanting can be compared to a flower opening up. Like a lotus flower sometimes opens up. So there's night-blooming lotuses and day-blooming lotuses. So a flower opens up in different stages. When it first starts to open up, what gets revealed to you is the form of Krishna. Because we're familiar with this in terms of rupa, nama, rupa, guna, lila. That's the Sanskrit for it. Because nama means the name, and rupa means the form, guna means the qualities, and lila means pastimes or activities. So the first opening of this lotus flower, when it first starts to open, then the form of Krishna becomes revealed to a devotee. And so, of course, we have our deity worship, and every day, by the mercy of Sri Sri Radha Gopinanda, Srila Prabhupada, we're able to perceive the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A tribhanga, threefold bending form, plain as flute, Ananta Madhavinda, Vilaya Taksha, as described in the Brahma Samhita. So we're able to perceive that aspect of the Lord. So that's the first thing that gets revealed to you. And if that's not revealed to you, you're not even opening up the lotus, beginning to open up the lotus flower. Your lotus flower is just like wilted if that's not revealed to you, the form of the Lord. Then that's the beginning. So we should see in our own hearts, how come that lotus flower is not opening at all? It's still like closed. And you can't force it open. I mean, sometimes I've gone to a flower that's closed and I try to force it open and you just tear the whole thing apart. You can't do that. It has to open on its own when it's the proper time. So that's the first one. And then as the lotus flower opens halfway up, then you have the qualities of the Lord become revealed to you. And of course these qualities are listed in the Nectar Devotion. We can understand them theoretically. The 64 qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then as you chant more, then, of course, this is the lotus flower opens completely, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. And then the Leela is revealed to you. The Leela, of course, means the pastimes. And we're not just talking about theoretically. I mean, we can read about the Leela now. It's like this is the month of Damodar, in which one is enjoined to read about Krishna Leela, the pastimes of Krishna, especially in Vrindavan. Kartik is the month of Damodar. So, but then they actually become revealed to you before your very eyes. You're able to perceive the Lord's Leela, whereas previously they were aprakat. That means not revealed. So this happens, and then interesting, there's a whole description here. And the way that this happens, the energy through which this happens, is described by Bhaktivinoda Thakur as the Ladini, who is personified by Radharani, and some vit, cognitive, that's the cognitive potency of the Lord, they combine and unite as Bhakti Devi. You know, Bhakti, devotion. Now, Bhakti Devi, which I described in a previous class as being independent. She resides in the heart, Krishna Setamara, Krishna Nite Par. She resides in the heart of the great devotees. So the Bhakti Devi is manifest as the combination of the Ladini Shakti and Sambit potency of the Lord. Of course, just to further elaborate what I mean by that, is Ladini Shakti means the pleasure potency of the Lord, that's Srimati Radharani, and Sambit means the cognitive or knowing potency of the Lord, just like we have Satchidananda Vigraha, it's described in the Dhamma Sanhita. Iswara Paramakrishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadi Radir Govinda Sarva Karana Karna. Krishna has a body made of eternity, bliss, and knowledge. So the spiritual world is composed of these three substances too. That's Ladini, Sambit, and Sandini. Sandini means the existential potency of the Lord, Sat potency of the Lord. You know, Sat is Sandini, Shit is Sambit, and Ananda is Ladini. Does everybody understand that? The three aspects of the Lord's spiritual energy, and the Lord's body is composed of this too, Satchidananda. So the Sambit and the Ladini potency combine as Bhakti Devi, and Bhakti Devi descends on the Jiva. She descends, comes down from the spiritual realm by the mercy of a pure devotee, by the mercy of the Guru. And Bhakti Devi, by descending on the Jiva, then manifests because the spiritual body of the devotee is already there. But the spiritual body of the devotee becomes manifest by the potency of Bhakti Devi. The body is there, we're just not aware of it. We think this is our body, this is our identification in this world. We are very attached to our identity in this world. Even we're very attached to our identity within the Krishna consciousness movement. And that's not our eternal identity. You know, we're very attached that, you know, I'm a sannyasi, born here, and we're at Nuvaloka. You know, very, very attached to these designations. It's all just not eternal. It's temporary. I mean, so it may be part of our service, but still, you know, we have this designation, sannyasi guru, or, you know, or rasta, or whatever. And so that's really the anchor that's keeping us from realizing our spiritual identity. That's the problem. So anyway, so Bhakti Devi descends, and the devotee gets, or understands his spiritual body, and tastes at that time, begins to taste rasa. And so it's described in the Harinam Chintamani, this is a little bit elevated, that about the ingredients to rasa, rasa samagri, this is the Sanskrit. The ingredients of rasa are things that you're all familiar with, like vibhava, anubhava, sattvika bhava, Vyavachari Bhava and Stai Bhava, and I'll describe what those are. Vibhava means that which excites you. You know, those stimulation things, you know, like say if you're very attached to Krishna's flute, you hear Krishna, like when Radharani heard Krishna's flute, and the gopis heard Krishna's flute, they became very. So the Krishna's flute is the Vibhava, stimulation for ecstatic love. So for the pure devotees, it's part of the ras, those ingredients. Just like ingredients in prasadam, in a vegetable, then you have cumin seeds, turmeric, you know, whatever spices you're using. So these are the ingredients in the ras. So the ingredients in your particular ras, or devotees, pure devotees, ras, in the spiritual world, are these other things. Of course, in the material world, it's described by Bhaktivinoda Thakur previously, that the living entities are trying, he says in the first part of the 12th chapter there, that there are those in ignorance who are trying their best to experience ras by working hard within this world. And they experience a perverted ras. I mean, they have things that excite them. Like someone may be very attached to fancy cars. That may be their vibhava. You know, if they see a Lamborghini, that's a vibhava. That's perverted ras. And then they feel symptoms of ecstasy. You know, tears may come from their eyes. Or they, whatever. So people are working very hard to experience ras in this world. Ras is actually the goal of everybody. But we just don't know how to experience the spiritual ras. So, anyway, getting back. So vibhava means that which excites you. Sattvibhava. Anubhava is next. Anubhava, that means the ecstasies that follow being stimulated. Was it drooling is one of the anubhavas, or dancing is one of the anubhavas. Sattvibhava means these constitutional ecstasies that are always there. And the vyabhachari bhavas mean the intermittent ecstasies that come and go and are basically uncontrollable. There's 33. Sattvika bhavas is 8 of them. And then finally, all these ingredients come together, and then one realizes one's sthayi bhava. Sthayi bhava means one's constitutional taste, which is, you know, constitutional taste means basically shantaras, dasharas, sakiras, vatsalyaras, and madhuryaras. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur goes on to describe something that's quite elevated for us, that when one is developing these bhavas, developing ras in this way, then one begins to understand the different aspects of their nature in the spiritual world. Yeah, and he describes them as the 11 aspects. Now, those who are sahajas, they generally think they could just go to, in their immature state, they can just go to their guru and hear about these 11 aspects and somehow or other imagine them or meditate on them, and then they achieve Krishna consciousness. But it doesn't work like that. I mean, one has to allow this lotus flower to gradually open in order to understand these things. And so these 11 items are like one's relationship in the spiritual world, that's the sthayi bhava, the age of your body in the spiritual world, your name in the spiritual world, what color and body you have is in the spiritual world. It's like it's like a multicolored experience. There's people with blue bodies, yellow bodies, hopefully not purple bodies, but you know, white bodies, black bodies. You know, and probably Prabhupada said that our ISKCON is very nice because it's like many different colored flowers. You know, because Prabhupada there was referring to the material bodies. You know, someone has a Chinese have a yellow body, etc., like that. So in the spiritual world, it's like that. There's all these different colored bodies. So you have bodily color. You have a group that you hang out with. You have a dress. You have a residence, an order. And you have your highest goal in life. And ultimately, you have the person who you follow in the footsteps of in the Raghunatha Bhakti. So these things are gradually revealed to one by chanting the holy name and corroborated by association with the devotees. And then according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, anyway, we have to end now. So, time to greet the deities. There was more, but too late. So that's all part of the Hari Nam Chintamani. There's different stages beginning with Smarana Das, by which one can actually realize these things. So, in any case, it's time to greet the deities. Conch shells should be blowing in about 5 seconds. So, no time for questions. All glories to His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Vijay. I want to welcome everyone from overseas. Rasa Sundri, Nanda Gopal, Toshan Krishna, Vaishnavi, Lalita Gopinath, Krishna, Balaram, Bajagovinda, Shital, Chichati, and Vishwanath, Vikash. Jai, Radhagalokananda, Radhagalokananda ki jai.
Thank you. Thank you. Jai 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 Read the translation. To the Supreme Controller, who possesses an eternal form of blissful knowledge, whose glistening energy swing to and fro manifests himself in Gokula, whose soul brother the yogis kept hanging from the rafters of their stores, and then quickly jumped out of a grand retreat and appearing when I showed up, but was ultimately caught. To that Supreme Lord, Sri Damodar, I offer my humble obeisances. Upon seeing his mother's wicked state, he cried and rubbed his eyes against his hand, his two lotus hands. His eyes were fearful, his breathing quick, and his mother showed him down his belt and ropes. He shivered in fright, and his pearls were shook. To the Supreme Lord, Sri Damodar, who was bound by his devoted love, I offer my humble obeisances. Those super excellent pastimes of Lord Krishna's vainglory crown the inhabitants of Gokula and Gokula's legacy. The devotees were attracted only to the majestic aspect of the higher intellect. The Lord here reveals, I am conquered and overwhelmed by pure love and devotion. To the Supreme Lord, Damodar, the obeisances hundreds and hundreds of times. O Lord, although you are able to give all kinds of benedictions, I do not pray to you for liberation, nor eternal life by Buddha, nor any other group. My only prayer is that the child of pastimes may constantly appear in my mind. O Lord, I do not even want to know the feature of Padmatma. I simply wish that your child of pastimes may ever be united in my heart. O Lord, the cheeks of your blackish lotus face, which is encircled by locks of curly hair, have become reddened by the number of fruit due to Mother Yashoda's kisses. What more can I describe than this? Millions of opulences are of no use to me, but may this vision constantly remain in my mind. O unlimited Vishnu, O Master of the Lord, be pleased upon me. I am drowned in an ocean of sorrow and am almost like a dead man. Please shower the rain of mercy upon me, uplift me and protect me with your nectarian vision. O Lord Damodar, in your form as a baby, Mother Yashoda bound you to a grinding stone with a rope for tying calves. You then freed your sons of Kubera, Mani Priva, and Nalapura, four first to stand as trees, and you gave them your hands to guard your bones. Please bless me in the same way, I have no desire for liberation to your cause. O Lord, the entire universe was created by Lord Rama, who was born from your abdomen, which was bound with a rope by Mother Yashoda. To this rope I offer my humble obeisances. I offer my obeisances to your most beloved Srimati Radharani and your unlimited pastime, Stala Lord Damodar, your Damodar is to be God. Two more days left to the party. And tomorrow morning, I'm not going to be here, but I'll be here for the breakfast at the lighthouse. But I won't be here for the morning program in the temple because I'm doing a program in Raleigh, Carrot, Mars, or Carrot, Sucks. So, we'll see everybody for breakfast in the White House. So, thank you very much. All the devotees.
One announcement?
Yeah.
We just wanted to let all the devotees know, following in Tristan Radharani's footsteps, we're continuing the Harinam at Weaver Street from 1 to 3 today. Please join us. It'll be in the Weaver Street area, near where the walking path is, or in directly across from Weaver Street.
Okay, very good.
I have an announcement too. Today at 7:04 o'clock in Perry, there is a Bharati Kirtan program from 4 until 8 o'clock tonight.
And we'd also like to welcome our godbrother Tandria today.
Hare Krishna. Usually the full moon is the next day, is the first day of the next month.
Okay. I heard on this kind of desire too. This year it's only 4 days for each month. Oh, except the TT. did 6 days, they said. Yeah. So it's not 4 solar days, but 4, it's not 5 solar days. That's why it's only 4 days, you know, the last days.
So when's the last day?
Each one comes to go.
Well, actually, technically, it's, you know, for them, is the beginning of the next one.
So do we not do that last year? That's an actual day close to the God.
Back home, we are doing the Tulsi Viva today because of like how she's mother.
Because of the Sunday feast.
Yeah, they are doing it the same today because of the.
So it's
not
4 days
of being
in the country. So could they win?
Well, since it's Monday, it's the beginning of the next month, it's not part of Kartik.
Okay. So sometimes Kartik goes to the point where it just depends on
It just depends on the moon. But the perineum is the beginning of the next month.
Right.
That's the beginning of the month according to the budget. So you have quote perineum is the beginning of the year. Okay.
I was just confused because they said, like, I'm even hearing, like, in some genome, but in some groups they would do Kartik from the Kadasi to the Kadasi, and then in others from the full moon to the full moon, so that's why.
Yeah. Yeah, some Vaishnavas do Kadasi to Kadasi. They push them off.
So we don't do it on Monday then?
No.
People watching.